The floor is yours, Professor.
Thank you very much, Madam Moderator. Could I just say that up to when you wrote that, I was chair, but now we have rotated. So I'm no longer chair of CERN, but I remain a vice chair. So I needed to say that publicly in case the new chair says something about that. Greetings to everyone on behalf of the Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. Before I go any further, and as I usually do, I wish to give thanks and honor to those ancestors whose rationale for their struggle might not have been articulated as recognition, justice, and development, a theme I hope we will keep for the second decade. But that is, in essence, what they wanted. Chief Tetchy, Queen Nana, Kitty Scarlett, and Sam Sharp of Jamaica, Bookman Dutty, Cecile Fatiman and Dessalines of Haiti, Abba of Antigua, Nanny Grig and Buss of Barbados, Susanna, Amber, Fatty, Lucretia of Guyana, Aben Keenan, Adelaide, Dison of Trinidad and Tobago, and so many, many more. And this is a good time for you to think of your own hero and heroine and place that name in your storehouse of memories. As we anticipate the second decade for people of African descent, people trafficked and chattelized and emancipated with nothing but freedom, important as that freedom was, my hope is that all states parties will launch and really implement the program of activities, especially as the program of activities for the first decade was not fully implemented by any state party, including the completion of the unfinished business of recognizing these heroes and heroines with tangible sites of memory because they are deserving of all respect. And their experiences must be centered in the reparation campaign to underscore its raison d'etre. The expectation of our ancestors would be that we do not betray their struggle, but that we place at the core of our lobbying for a second decade what the Durban Declaration and Program of Action later articulated, and in case you have forgotten, historical injustices have undeniably contributed to the poverty, underdevelopment, marginalization, social exclusion, economic disparities, instability, and security that affect many people in different parts of the world, in particular in developing countries. This means that a priority of the second decade must be to achieve its goal of development and greater wealth creation for African people, including through reparatory justice. In developing a reparatory justice framework, we should add the Capitalocene, a different conceptual framework for climate reparation, which places global change in a new ecologically oriented history of capitalism. I should also explain that I use the term wealth creation as it is more empowering than poverty eradication. Put another way, we must commit to the right to development, recognizing that poverty is both a cause and consequence of the discriminatory consequences of colonialism, as the DDPA reinforced. Another expectation is that states will use as a guide not only the program of activities for the second decade, when that is developed, but also the Convention on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination and CERD's general recommendations, the purpose of which is to provide, in light of the committee's experience, practical guidance on the meaning of articles under the convention. I refer particularly to General Recommendations number 33 on follow-up to the Durban Review Conference, number 34 on racial discrimination and people of African descent, number 35 on combating racist hate speech, and number 36 on preventing and combating racial profiling by law enforcement officials, including through AI, which outlines specific actions to be taken to protect human rights and eliminate all forms of racial discrimination against people of African descent. As CERD is too often told in its interactive dialogue with some states that they have few people of African descent in their country, and therefore the IDPAD is not relevant for them, I would hope that such states by now understand that anti-Black and racist ideologies develop even before actual encounters with any Black person. As long as one watches films and TV, one can develop anti-Black prejudices. So another expectation for the second international decade is that we focus our education system more intensively on the roots of racialized thoughts and behaviors, especially to correct the narrative and empower the youth to remove racial discrimination, in particular, anti-African discrimination, which is destroying our societies. It was the late Nelson Mandela who said, and I quote, "I hate race discrimination most intensely and in all its manifestations. I have fought it all during my life. I fight it now and will do so until the end of my days," end of quote. We need to embrace that quote and make it our own. Turning to the challenges, challenges will accompany the support for and implementation of the second decade, of course. Opposition by some states, parties, inadequate budgetary support, and other challenges. Nevertheless, as long as we are united in our commitment to create societies in which racial discrimination, racial profiling, and anti-Black racism are eliminated, and in which we work towards wealth creation for people impoverished by colonialism and its legacies, we will succeed. As Meza Castillo has said, and I quote, "A second international decade is important because it is necessary to continue working in the fight against racial and systemic discrimination and injustice, even if it sounds repetitive," end of quote. I agree with her that we have to continue on this path to achieve the objectives of a more just and dignified society and ensure social and economic rights that have been far too long denied us. It will take courage, but as Marcus Garvey urges us to do, lose not courage, lose not faith, go forward, forward ever, backwards never, as Kwame Nkrumah once said. Thank you so much.